And, we're celebrating Good Friday. And when you're looking from the outside at Good Friday, it did not seem so good. Jesus was beaten beyond recognition, suffered like no man could suffer. He had the awfulness of the wrath of man poured out on him. He had the awfulness, the more awfulness, if there's such a word, of the wrath of God poured out on him. Nothing seemed good about Good Friday, looking at it from the outside. And I want to talk to you today about what's so good about Good Friday. Why do we call it Good Friday when it was such an atrocious day for Jesus, an atrocious day for Mary, an atrocious day for the disciples, an atrocious day for any follower of Jesus Christ that watched him die such a horrific death? Why do we call it Good Friday? If you would, per Calvary Chapel tradition, stand with me as we read John chapter 18, verse 33 through 38. The setting is Pontius Pilate's first trial with Jesus. And he's asking Jesus, "Are you a king?" And Jesus is going to answer the question, "I am a king with a kingdom that's coming." When you think about Good Friday, when you think about the cross, think about the kingdom that is coming, and Jesus afforded that kingdom to everyone that will put their trust in the one that hung on the tree. You can be in that kingdom. Hear the dialogue with Pontius Pilate. Then Pilate entered the praetorium, again called Jesus and said to him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into this world, that I shall bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" in a cynical manner. And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." This is the word of God. Our Father, we give you thanks for this day that we celebrate Jesus Christ giving his life for us. And we cannot say thank you enough, Father, for the gift of life that has been offered to every human on this earth if they simply believe and receive the free gift. Lord, I pray today that as this world acknowledges Good Friday and the awfulness that took place there and the greatness that resulted as a result of that awfulness, that we too can be in a kingdom living forever with our Lord. Thank you for this day. May we always remember what our Lord has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Why do we call it Good Friday? Again, Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. In Isaiah 52:14, we read these words, stunning. "Many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man." What was so good about that beating? What was so good about that? What was so good about the degrading of Jesus? Matthew 26:67 says this, "Then they spat in his face, beat him," and Luke adds, or Mark adds, or one of the gospel writers adds, "they covered his head so they couldn't see who was pummeling him. Others struck him with the palm of their hand, saying, 'Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?'" What was so good about hanging naked on a tree, exposed to your mom and all the women and all the people of the world as you're hanging on the tree? What's so good about spikes being driven into your wrists and ankles? We have these two slides that come up here that show these are not little penny nails. These are spikes that go through the wrist, not through the palm, so that the weight of the person can be held up, and through the ankle. It's a gruesome, awful thing. What's so good about the people viewing Jesus on the cross wagging their heads in disgust. Matthew 27:40 says this, "If you are the Son of God," wagging their heads, "come down from the cross." How about the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priest in Matthew 27:43, when they said this, watch this degrading comment, "He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him." If he will have him. What a snide remark. What's so good about God the Father watching his only begotten Son crucified on the cross, beaten brutally by human beings, the ones, incidentally, that he created? All things were created by him and through him, and there was nothing made that has been made. Jesus was their creator. Can you imagine the pain that God the Father was feeling? Can you imagine the absolute distress of the angelic realm who worshiped Jesus, knew who Jesus was in his God sense? The first 3 hours of the cross were indeed the wrath of man. And it was brutal, and it was nasty, it was ugly. It was beaten beyond recognition. The last 3 hours, Jesus experienced something much worse, the wrath of God. His Father was poured out upon the Son. You heard that right. It was the wrath of God. Darkness, remember, covered the face of the earth. It was dark sin coming on the sinless one. Every sin from Adam to the last person on Jesus. Now, you know the big ones, rape, murder, all that, lying, thieving, gossip, lust, jealousy, vanity, greed, lewdness, envy, arrogance, folly, anything that you can think of on Jesus. All of my sins on Jesus. All of your sins, all of humanity's sins. The greatest pain of the cross, folks, is when Jesus felt abandoned by his Father. You see, sin separates. And Jesus, for the first time and forever, felt this separation from his Father because all the sins of the world had come on him. And that is when he cried out with a guttural cry, "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Why am I up here alone? Where are you, Father? I can't sense you. I can't feel you." That's the pain of the cross. Jesus cried. It must have been a stake driven into Father's house as heart as he's crying this out. The pain, the degrading of the crucifixion was beyond our ability to fathom. Jesus, the innocent, was tortured physically and spiritually like no other man. What was so good about Good Friday? What was so good about it? I'll tell you this. It's crystal clear what's good about Good Friday. Jesus' torture, Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus' degrading, Jesus' humiliation, Jesus' death was done for each one of us. Put your name there. Put your name there. We put Jesus on the cross. Pontius Pilate's often blamed, and the Jews are often blamed, and the Romans are often blamed. It was our sins that placed Jesus on the cross. These were just vehicles to accomplish a task that had to be accomplished. Jesus did this for us. It screams, John 3:16 just screams at us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life in a kingdom living with Jesus forever." I mean, that is what Good Friday is all about. That's why it's good. Jesus substituted for me. He paid the price for me. See, God does not wink at sin. Sin must be dealt with. The soul that sins must die. Sin causes separation from God. The only way for us to be reconciled, to be brought back into right relationship with God, was for Jesus to die in our stead, in our place. And he did that on Good Friday. We owe him everything, folks. We owe him everything. All to Jesus I owe. All to him I owe. Jesus paid it all. We must realize on the cross, Jesus paid our sin debt. He ransomed us. He paid the price for our sins. Forcefully, the second, the moment you believed in Jesus, you were taken forcefully out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of the Son of his love, whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1:13-14. He has forcefully, forcefully delivered us from the powers of darkness. That's what's good about Good Friday. Jesus' death renders every single human savable. But that human must invoke believing and receiving the free gift that is offered to them. The gift was given on Good Friday, folks. Jesus, it's God's gift to you. You talk about a gift, that's the greatest gift ever. Folks, there is a kingdom coming. Jesus said so. This is the truth, and you too can be part of that kingdom if you believe and receive the gift of salvation. That's what Good Friday is about. Listen to the dialogue that we just went through in John chapter 18 with Pilate. Let's go through it one more time. Pilate asked a question. Are you the king of the Jews? See, the Jewish leadership was accusing him of being a king, and that was in competition with Caesar, and so they wanted to use that as the impetus for Jesus to be killed. Jesus' response is this: my kingdom is not of this world, not of this world system. It's a future kingdom. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. Pilate then asked a question again. Are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly, I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness, listen to this word, to the truth. Something our culture is lacking today is the truth. Then Jesus says, gives some truth statements to Pilate, some information every human must hear. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Hears my voice. Jesus' birth prepared the way for him to be the king of his coming kingdom. Now, you must realize something. This is some theology. It's going to get a little deep here for just a second, so bear with me. But when Jesus came into this world, you know, he didn't exist as a little baby Jesus in heaven, and he didn't have a form in heaven. He was a spirit being, just like the Father and just like the Holy Spirit. He was a spirit being. He was a second person of the Trinity. And then he took on this. Can you imagine the shock of taking on this being God? That's called the hypostatic union. I have a couple slides here, a little bit of deep theology for you, but Jesus is fully God and fully man. Now, the next slide will tell you what this means. Jesus Christ was fully God, fully man at the same time. It is used to affirm the union of Jesus' divine and human natures in one person. That Jesus Christ is perfectly God and perfectly man. Now, how that is 100% God and 100% man, I don't know. But I believe it is. I believe it is. And Jesus now forever is in the God-man state. And you know who he did it for? He did it for us. He did it for every human being who received the gift of salvation. Jesus pre-existed. He came out of heaven to be our Savior and our King. Jesus is the truth, unveiled reality. That's what truth is, by the way. That which really is, unveiled reality. Jesus said, anyone who is of the truth hears his voice. Pilate proved where he stood when he asked this question, what is truth? Kind of in a cynical manner. And there's people today that ask that question about Jesus. Is he really the truth? Or is Muhammad the truth? Or is the Hindu Vedas the truth? Who's the truth? Is Islam the truth? Jesus is the truth. Pilate had the truth standing right before him, and he missed it. He couldn't see it. Pilate missed who Jesus really was, his only hope. And by the way, Jesus is the only hope for every human that is on the face of the earth. Now, let me say this one more time so everyone's crystal clear. Every human born into this world, every little innocent baby, they look so nice and cuddly when they're sleeping. When they wake up and start that scream, it's not so cuddly. Every single human born into this world is born into the kingdom of darkness. Satan is their ruler. They don't know it. They're not running around saying that's who's their king, but he's the one that is ruling over them and all those false religious systems that are out there. People have to be extracted. Their only hope is to turn to Christ. just so we have that nailed down. We are living, folks, in a world of subjective truth. My truth is my truth. Your truth is your truth. You just make it up as you go. This is humanism. This is false. That is a lie. Most today do not want the truth. They just want their life, live it their way. That's their truth, and that's what they're going to stand on. That will not save you from the coming wrath. Did you hear what I said? Jesus is coming the second time when he comes to this earth, and he's coming with wrath. That's the tribulation period, folks. When the Lamb pours out his wrath on the earth for 7 years. The question today for you is, what's so good about Good Friday? Jesus, the truth, gave his life for me. He paid my sin debt. He's coming back, by the way, for his true church. We call that the rapture of the church. Yes, we believe that Jesus is coming for us. The truth will pour out his wrath. Jesus, the truth, will pour out his wrath on an unbelieving world who rejects the truth. Jesus truly will establish his kingdom. This is a fait accompli. It will happen. Jesus, the truth, told us the way into his kingdom, the only way into his kingdom. Christianity is exclusive, folks. That's why people don't like us, because we say there's no other road. Jesus didn't. It wasn't equivocal. He didn't equivocate on this 1 ounce. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, how many people are no ones? Zero. No one comes to the Father except through me. You have to come through Jesus Christ. It's that simple. So think about Good Friday. Think about what happened. It looked so awful. It looked so bleak. It looked like a massive defeat. Everybody's running. Everybody's depressed. But think about this. The giving God gave his only begotten Son. The Son, out of love for humankind, completed his mission and died for our sins. Remember, he wanted, if there's any other way, in Gethsemane. This is real. Jesus, being a man, he knows what he's going to be facing. If there's any other way, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. What's so good about Good Friday? There's going to be a last slide that comes up here. What's so good about Good Friday? Right here, the day that true love died for me. Put your name there. Have you believed and received the gift of salvation? Are you living for Jesus Christ today? He's the only thing that makes sense, folks, in this world that is absolutely in a spiral down. Folks, this isn't getting better here. It's not getting better. I don't care if Donald Trump gets elected. We're not going to make America great when America spits in the face of God. We cannot make America. Revival will make America great. Not a man, not a president. He can't do it. We need revival in the church and renewal in America. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us to share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus came into this world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, paid all of our sin debt, was buried, and on Victory Sunday, which we're going to celebrate here soon, he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for this day that we remember the price that Jesus paid for us. Indeed, it is Good Friday. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.